Let the blood of Jesus cover us and our spouses. Lord, cover our minds, cover our spirit, cover our emotions with the blood of Jesus Christ. Against any disease, viruses, or illnesses that would try to overtake us, we release the healing virtue of Jesus Christ into our bodies and spirit. I curse at the root every attack upon our faith, health, relationship, spiritual intimacy, marriage, unity, purpose, communication, finances, progress, and our children. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us and keeps us in perfect health all the days of our lives. Lamed Yud Yud, which is Hebrew for have God fight for us. Shut down calamities, catastrophes, and any hidden dangers that would try to come up against us. The gates of hell will not prevail against us or our families. In Jesus' name. Hello, hello, hello world. We're honored you came back for season 2 of the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matherson with my ladies Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray, our Queen V. We let come again, queens.
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Yeah, man.
We all have a story. Mistakes and mistreatments are so hard for us to forget. If I ask you, do you remember your first heartbreak? You can recall every single detail. If I ask you about your most significant childhood trauma, you could paint a vivid picture for me. Those times of rejection, abandonment, and resentment are just one trigger away. Here at the Beloved Queens, we are very transparent. We share our flaws and how we are overcoming them every day. Today, we're letting them go.
Let it go, let it go.
I'm going to start with Queen Trina. So Queen Trina, you brought the concept of letting go to us a year ago. And now it's something we do every single quarter because we see ourselves growing out of negative cycles and patterns. Tell us how you started letting it go with your family. Just tell us that story.
Well, first of all, I have to tell you my journey to letting it go. Because letting it go took me almost 20 years of letting go of anger, hurt, rejection, abandonment. I remember my stepdad and I had I would say argument, but it was more than that to me. Just to give a quick synopsis of what happened, because it was trauma in my eyes. I was probably around 14 years old. I just started high school. Puppy love thing. So I was on the phone with man. And he wanted to use the phone. It was the house phone. And he kept on coming to me. I was like, I need to use the phone. And I'm ignoring him. Long story short, he gets mad and pulls out the phone cord. Disconnect the call. And I'm like, what? Why you did that for? And he was like, because I've been asking you and you not listening to me, disrespecting me. We started going back and forth. And I won't say what I said to him, but I said something very inappropriate. And he lunged after me and was going for my neck. And in my eyes, I felt like the man was about to kill me. That incident, I decided then and there I will never talk to him again.
Have mercy, Percy.
And I didn't talk to him for almost 20 years.
20 years, Queen?
Trina, 20 years? No star. Mm-mm. Malice?
Mm-mm. Malice. Mm-mm. When in a set, hold on to things.
I'm sorry. Just to let our audience know, she was still living in the same house. Individual.
Okay. Oh, actually, me didn't move upstairs because me tell my mother, I cannot stay in this environment.
Oh, wow.
So I moved upstairs.
As you are following along, she claimed to be the victim in this situation, not knowing that she was so wrong and strong with her wrongness.
Hello, police. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you.
So I want to ask you, from your point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you become the victim as Listen Veronica to- raised mm-hmm. this up? Mm-hmm. Just explain it to us.
Well, in my thought process, the man was trying to kill me. I totally blocked out the part that he asked me several times that he needed to use the phone. That part kind of got omitted in the whole conversation when I was talking to myself going, but this man had tried to kill me and no one was there to defend me. I felt alone and I departed upstairs.
Gina, I'm not half of the hater, but...
Listen to
but
me.
But do you see how we create stories in our heads?
Yes, yes. Listen to me. I was in my own soap opera.
The young and the restless.
But it took me, you hear me, almost 20 years to forgive and let go of the hurt and the anger. Let me tell you, the people, I held it on like it was a badge of honor for me. I was like, yes, I'm not going to talk to him. Remind you, same household for a couple of years. Then, come on my wedding.
He got an invitation.
Participated everything. I just refused to acknowledge him.
Dead to me.
So he was dead to you?
Dead. Yes, he was. He was dead. Every family function, me see him and I see him. Pass.
Mm.
Remind you, this is my mother's husband. That I did this to. My brother's father. I just never spoke. After. And you know, I'm ever grateful to my husband because he was the one that encouraged me, like, really, you need to let it go. He was like,
what age was this again?
Listen to me, don't embarrass me.
No, there are so many. No, I'm sorry. We're making light of it because it's such a, there are so many people right now
have the same situation.
Where they're holding on to things for so many years.
So many years. Like, this happened to me when I was 14 years old.
14.
Add on 20 to that. Okay. Y'all do the math. Mm-hmm. That's how long I held on. I'm surprised I didn't get high blood pressure. I have odd problems. Because these things are real. These are the things that happen when you don't forgive. Y'all hold on to all this stress.
That's true.
Right. And yes, because, okay. Would you live in a house where you don't clean it? Would you live in a house where you don't have spring cleaning? When it's springtime come, you don't change out your clothes. When winter time, you change out your clothes. Would you live in a house that every Saturday, that we grew up in Jamaica learning, every Saturday, you clean up? But here we are going around with so much stuff in our subconscious mind, in our hearts. Here you are going around and not even assessing yourself and not saying, am I going to hold on to something for so long? Most people don't even ask themselves that question. There is no cleaning up of making an assessment of who you are, and then saying, okay, man, this is not serving me any purpose. So how, yeah, Veronica, you're thinking something. Talk to me about.
No, I think sometimes you have built up such a wall and you have buried this so deep that it's no longer in your peripheral to even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know what she's saying, where when she said, when we said that he was dead to her, we create that. So if the person is dead, they no longer exist. I don't need to deal with something that is no longer there. We have hidden it so far in our subconscious that we don't think it needs to be cleaning. There's nothing there to clean. It no longer exists. It no longer exists. So why am I going to bring it up to fix something that no longer exists? First, you have to deal with the fact that first you have to resurrect it because we have killed it.
Yeah, right.
So we have to bring it back to this, to bring it back even to the forefront. We have to make sure that bring it back Absolutely. To life so that we can deal with it and then put it to rest. Finally, you know, put it to rest and get, you know, take care of it. But we have to acknowledge that, oh, wait, what is in that corner over there? What is under that rug that we kept, you know, it keeps getting higher, but, you know, the rug is. What's that lump under that? What's that lump under the rug?
6 feet under.
And it's all the way in the back of the
closet.
But you
clean the rug, though, you know, you clean the rug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the lump under it not taking up.
Oh, no.
No.
For what reason?
Okay. That is almost all of us. That is us. In my, like, let me tell you, it is very difficult as a child when someone hurts you. Or even if you perceive, because sometimes they don't really hurt you. Sometimes it's a perception of hurt. So whether it's real hurt or a perception of hurt, whether it's real rejection or a perception of rejection, as a child, these dead to you concepts that you hear us talking about, you implement it because why? It's a way for you to cope. It's a way for you mm-hmm. to say, there is no way my dad is rejecting me. There is no way my stepfather is rejecting me. I am cutting him off. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's I am putting up this wall, so I'm protecting myself.
Yes.
And it's a childhood way of mm-hmm. protecting yourself. It's a way we cope.
That's all it is.
I talk about this in my book. It's called My God, More Than a Belief, An Experience. And you can find it on Amazon, or I can put a link to it on our Facebook page. I'm sure we talked about fatherhood hurts before. And that dead to me concept is something that's where I got it from, because whether it was, like I said, in my mind, I was rejected. And that is probably one of the biggest things that happens when a father is not in the picture. Rejection is how a child now processes all their relationships going into the future.
Mm.
And sadly, some of the times we don't realize that the rejection is what we've been carrying around on our back for decades, until maybe pandemic come and everything shut down and you have to really look into yourself because you don't know when you're going to die. So you got to clean stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it takes a drastic thing to come around for you to say, okay, this rejection, it is not serving me any purpose. I'm going to let that go. That's something that you have to dig up, like Veronica said, right? And decide that you don't want no part of it. I remember something where, so like I said, process things through rejection lenses. Process everything through rejection lenses. Because it came where? From the childhood, and now it comes into adulthood. Sometimes you bring it, she talked about the rejection in her teenage years. I brought rejection into my workplace. I am processing relationships that are supposed to be professional, and you're bringing how you process your childhood trauma into the workplace. So if someone, just like what you did with your dad, if he didn't show up, or if he promised he was going to come and don't come, and you decide that, okay, I'm going to just cut off, I'm going to shut down. That's the same kind of childish ways I would bring into my workplace. Passive aggressive, not saying what hurt, just shutting off. You bring it into your marriage, not saying what hurt, you shut off. It's something that travels with you. You end up being a mom, and if your child don't do the right thing, you... Because everybody's getting the same dead-to-me feelings. Passive-aggressive is that.
Yeah, because you never dealt with it as a child. No one taught you how to deal with it. So it just carries on, because guess what? The way you dealt with it then is it worked for you. Why wouldn't it work for you when you got older? Why wouldn't it work for you in every other situation? Because that's how it worked for you in the past.
Right. Because it's kind of a safety kind of net when you were a child. But as an adult, how many people are you going to cut off? That's literally what the Lord said to me. The Lord was like, that's how you going to roll? You going to cut every single person off? Even people who can take you to the next level, you just going to shut them off and like they're dead and move right along?
Move on.
I got that, Bula, nice in my head. He was like, you can't cut people off like this. This is not healthy.
Listen.
And we walk around in things of that nature. I don't need no help. Oh, yeah. You remember that, Trina?
Oh, yeah.
I don't need help. I can do bad all by myself.
I can do it all by myself.
But I hate the fact that now that has become a mantra among women.
Mm.
And it seems as something of strength. It's not. It's so much strength to ask for help. There's so much courage. Mm. And you it shows so much growth when you ask for help. You walking around talking about I can be bad by myself and everybody talking about, yeah, bad girl, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. When you're in internally, you're dying.
Talk up the things around.
So you can't be bad. So you can't be bad and you're
dead
dying.
Bad.
Dead bad.
Just going talk around is a, in an island. Remember when we grew up, there was this song, No Man is an Island.
An island.
Remember
mm-hmm.
it? No man stands alone.
Mm-hmm.
Each
True.
Man's joy is joy for me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another. So I will defend each man as my brother. Each man as my friend. We can't do this alone.
No, sir.
And I love the fact that Trina was able to bring this let go concept to us so that we can do it as a group. Because what we recognize is that as she began to let go and share the things that she's letting go, we start dig deep and say, what am I? What do I not want to carry into my future with me? Let go helps you to look at you. Instead of pointing the finger at other people, you.
The Beloved Queens Podcast will continue after this break.
If you're a boss lady of color rocking it in your industry, but looking for exposure to an international audience, and if you're wondering how you can support and partner with us, we have some gems for you. Our special offer includes 3 levels, Diamond, Opal, and Sapphire. For our royal family looking to support our show, we have not left you out. Thanks to all who supported us in Season 1, we're eternally grateful. So where can you find this amazing opportunity? Go to thebelovedqueens.com and click the heart at the top right-hand corner, or simply email us at info@thebelovedqueens.com. That's info@thebelovedqueens.com. Regular supporters will get an invitation to our clubhouse room where we'll continue the weekly conversation. to make room for love, we've got to let go of hate. And that's exactly why we celebrate MLK Day today.
Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We are free at last!
The great MLK envisioned a brighter day. Mistreated and misunderstood all because of his race. He let go of the hate, brought us freedom for today. If we follow in his footsteps, all hurt can be erased. So hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, hurt people. So just let go of the old, so you can be anew. Let go of all their heartbreak and their mistreatment of you. Let go of all the anger, let go of all the pain. Let go of all the mean and hurtful things that they were saying. So don't hurt people, hurt people, hurt people. Don't hurt people, hurt people, hurt people. Don't hurt people, hurt people, hurt people. Release the offense and forgive evil. Don't you want to be free to love? Don't you want some peace? Break free of unforgiveness, stealing all of your sleep. Put your faith in God. Never second guess, he'll always help you, so don't you ever settle for less. He'll take your sorrow, he will take your pain, he will make you joyful so you'll never go insane. Don't hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, don't hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, don't hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, release the offense and forgive evil.
So tell us, Trina, about how you brought it to your family.
From that experience, the 20-something, I decided that I needed to make a change. And it started with forgiveness. First, I had to forgive myself because I had to recognize that I was holding on to this for what reason? Only God didn't know, because after so many years, you kind of, like you said, Veronica, buried down deep. So I wasn't even aware of, again, about why I had these feelings. I just know whenever I saw my stepdad, I would just have like the hurt and the pain would still be there. But I'm walking past him as if nothing is happening when I know I was feeling it. And I literally, you know, with the help of hubby, thank God for you. I guess God was using him. I actually said, you know what? I'm going to let it go with him and forgive. But here's the thing about feeling rejection. The opposite of rejection is acceptance. So I had to accept. And in doing so, accept the situation for what it is, well, what it was, because Lord, it's been so long, for what it was, and move forward in a healthy way. And I did that with him. I did, the first time I spoke to him, I think he almost passed out. I'm so shocked. Listen, everybody was shocked. It was a Christmas. Everyone was shocked, like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
But you know what, Trina, as you said that, I'm just thinking about how everybody accepted the fact that you weren't speaking to him.
Wow.
For everyone around you for 20 years accepted, until knowledgeable Mikey come in. But I mean, everybody accepted the fact that here is this child who is not speaking to this adult. And they're just going to be like, all right, she has her reasons and we're just going to accept that. Did anyone even come to you and be like, you know, is there a reason? I know you have your story, but did anyone come to you and be like, so why are you not, I haven't seen you saying anything to, you know, What happened?
No, but that's part of the dysfunction in my loving family. Yes, where everybody will grudge. Everybody know to mind them business when they want to mind them business. So no one was, like you said, coming to me and asking me any questions. Everyone knew the story. It was like, okay, well, we understand why you're upset. It's all right. You don't have to talk to him. Again, remind you, he was... I'm thinking he was probably the only male in the household. You see that? That's a whole other dynamics.
Let me sip my tea because that's another topic.
Talk of the things.
Don't sip tea.
Wow.
So what did that do to him? Okay, back on topic here.
Let me tell you, we don't have all night, you know.
That's a fact. 24 minutes. The idea is, what is letting go to you?
Just
describe it for us. Give us a little bit of insight on what that is. Because, you know, letting go is, people say, well, just let that go. Trivially. They just kind of throw it, you know, at you and say, why don't you just let things go? People say this all the time. Why don't you just let it go? But I find that letting go is the hardest thing to do. So how did you do that?
Yeah, no, that wasn't me, girl.
Holy Spirit activated.
Yes, just a tad bit. You know, just a tad bit. I mean, how are you going to walk around? Because this is the thing that we have to be honest about. How are you going to walk around if you're feeling angry, bitter, in pain, and claiming to be 100% happy? You can't. You can't be. You have to acknowledge those feelings. And why are you feeling that way? So for me, it was all about processing the emotions healthy and acknowledging them, because for years I wasn't acknowledging it. So I had to acknowledge it and then process it healthy, where I was going through the emotions and talking about it and then creating the opposite of everything that I was feeling. And that for me took time and the Holy Spirit called. When they said, let it go, let it go, let it go, was not easy. But I wanted peace. That's what I wanted. I wanted peace. And that was the callus for me to say, it's time to let it go. Because I wasn't feeling peace.
And so you created this exercise. Or how did you find the exercise of letting go, the practice?
Well, actually, I was invited to an event and they called it Let It Go. At the event, where it was a group of ladies that came together, and only two, I think it was like 20-something ladies, and only two people I knew out of the group. But that night, we cried together, we laughed, we had such a connection, because people were sharing deep, deep-rooted, I mean, things that they never spoke out loud before. But it was the whole thing, it was whatever we talked about, we wrote on a piece of paper and we burned it at the end of the night. And I felt like the release from all of that. This was after my mom had passed. So one of the things I was letting go is trying to move forward. And again, trying to find my peace. So that's what I remember writing down, that God helped me to find peace in the midst of all this. And after just doing that process, I felt like something was lifted off of me. And I knew from then that this was something I wanted to continue doing and sharing it with other people. I'm like, everybody should be doing this. Everyone needs to let go. And I know I wasn't the only person, because we talked about it after, where everyone felt lighter. We started like literally dancing with each other after we finished burning all this paper. And we, in that moment, I saw the transformation happening in all of us.
Wow. And now this thing is a part of our lives, like, permanently. We literally do this stuff every quarter because we're seeing the transformation. We're seeing the growth.
Yep.
And for real growth and transformation to happen, you have to start with the man in the mirror. You just have to start with the man in the mirror.
Hello.
All right, Queen V, what's your significant mistake or perceived mistreatment from childhood that is just etched in your mind that, you know, it play out with your relationships in growing into adulthood?
I think we talked about it earlier. You made mention of it in your story. It's, and I didn't even know, because like everyone else, I had that, okay, that person doesn't exist. So I don't have any issues. I never claimed to have any issues. It's like, okay, that person just never existed. My thing came when, actually, I was in church and it was a Father's Day. I'm the one, I think we spoke about this before, like on Father's Day, I, you know, celebrate my mom because she was my mom and my father. And I was actually in church Father's Day and we were worshiping in. And throughout the worship, I just had an encounter with God and he was like, I am your father, like what you were looking for. Because you know how God knows your innermost deep thoughts, you know, everything that you think you hid or, you know, that you might hide from people outside, but God knows deep down what's in your heart. And I think he found the little girl in the corner and he's like, I am your earthly father and I am your heavenly father. And that really broke me because, and then he showed me everything that, and everywhere and everything that he has been a part of. And he's like, you might not think that you had someone, but I was always there. And just seeing that, it was almost like a reel for me, like a movie reel. Seeing my life and seeing God present in everything that I thought I did not have a father present in, God showed me where he was. And that really broke me to the point where I was so free, it was so freeing, not knowing that I was holding on to this thing for so long. And I can't say that was, yes, I was married. So I think that was about 26, 27 when that happened. And it really freed me. Now, it took me, this is how stubborn I am. As much as I was free and I got, you know, released from the thing of, you know, not thinking that I had a father present throughout my life and knowing that God was always there. For him now, having been free to one day I was studying, grad school, I was studying and he said, go look for your father on Facebook. And I'm like, God, please. Because, you know, me and God, that's how we talk. And I'm like, that's just not going to happen. And he's like, you've been free. Go and find him on Facebook. And I had to stop what I was doing. I think I was doing homework as well as studying. And I went and I found him and I contacted him. And, you know, it just happened that I was going to be in New York and whatever. Because all this time, I used to have friends be like, oh, I never heard you talk about your father. Is he dead? I said, I'm not sure. I think he lives somewhere. But I just never talked about him because, again, to me, he never existed. So when he said to reconnect with him, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, because I think I was in the office and my husband was working at the computer and I was in the couch, you know, doing homework and stuff, that it had to be the Holy Spirit, because trust and believe, Veronica Gray would have never, ever contacted him. Talk about let it go. If it had not been for the Holy Spirit, God himself telling me, giving me a directive, that would have never happened.
I'm dead.
I mean, in my mind, he's yes. dead. Long story short, he said, introduce your son to him, blah, blah, blah. We did that. I did that. And it was just done. But I'm telling you, it would not have happened had I not let it go. Had I not been open to the Holy Spirit, had I not been obedient, but it freed me from so many things. Just being able, but for me, again, it took divine intervention for me to let it go. Because God, the thing is, God knows each of us. He knows what you can handle, what you can take, what will make you mm-hmm. move, and what won't make sure. you move. I am the stubborn. Listen. Stubborn is not even the word. So there has to be another word, a level above stubborn. That's where I am. So for me what? To do anything, listen, divine intervention. Some of you, please do not let it come to this. Do not let it come to divine intervention, because these things will cause disease in your body. These holding on to things, these having Ooh. These grudges, these having these, they are dis-ease because they turn into disease. You cannot always hold on to stuff because mm-hmm. years later when you find out, why do I have this pain? Where does that pain come from? Where does this heart attack come from? Where does this arthritis come from? These are all disease that you had hold on to that become disease in your body.
Resentment,
hate. Because when you kill somebody, resentment. You hated them so much that you kill them so in much. Your mind.
Jeez.
How can you be of Christ,
Jesus,
which is Ooh. Pure love, pure light, and walking around killing people? You might not
Trust
be
me, enough how we are murderer. But
yes, you might not have, you know, pulled murderer. A trigger and they might not be physically dead, but killing someone mentally sometimes is worse.
Mentally.
Because think about it, you walking around thinking that person, they walk past you and it's all like, nobody walk past you.
The wall.
Wall.
Like you're treating a human being.
Furniture.
You're treating a human being that God's breath is in.
Are you?
Like they are not even there.
No, they're a thing.
Yes. No, man. Seriously. Let it go.
Trust and believe. Let it go. And it's not. A lot of people struggle with that, guys. A lot of people struggle with. You feel like you have the right to hold on to your resentment and rejection.
My precious. Right.
This is my precious. This is my rejection. This is my abandonment. This is my abuse. How are you holding on to stuff? This is my, and I'm speaking to the choir. Trust me, I'm not preaching down to a soul because I
talk up the team.
I'm chief cornerstone of rejection. Okay. So you hold on to these things. But then you know what I discovered over the Christmas? So if you're thinking you were the only one that got rejected, and sometimes when you do some digging in your family's history, you find out that rejection, the same rejection you feeling, your mother felt it when she was pregnant with you. The same rejection that you're feeling, she felt it when she was in her mother's belly because her dad rejected her. So you are carrying this one rejection that you just think it's just you between you and your dad, or between you and your mother if she wasn't there, or somebody who was supposed to be responsible for you. You're thinking that person rejected you when you're carrying this generational rejection that is not even just yours. I had over the Christmas holidays, I was talking to my mom and just asking her about her life. And again, this is something I wrote in my book. When she was in her mother's belly, her father said, I don't want a daughter. Girls are not important. So my mom carried that rejection forward. When I am in her belly, things didn't work out between her and dad. And he was supposed to show up for my birth. And he was not there. So the same rejection she's been carrying on from her father come down to me. I would talk further to my nephew. The same thing is happening where he feels rejected. If I ask my brother, I'm sure he felt rejected too from his father. There's just this, you're thinking it's your little precious? When it's a family issue. When it's a generational curse. When it's something that is not just you. God is trying to deliver you, my person listening. You, our royal family. Your God is trying to deliver you listening to me. He's trying to deliver me so that I can redeem my family as well. When he delivered Trina, it wasn't just Trina in seeing the future, you know. Trina got delivered.
No, sir.
Guess what? Trina, bring our family along. Now, once Trina let that go, she's bringing the queens along. Once Trina let the queens go, once we let go, the queens are bringing their families along. We are all taking responsibility for our own stuff. So don't be holding on to a grudge that is someone else's deliverance.
Woo! Me feel the one.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at The Beloved Queens. The body roll for the body roll.
Hey, roll out.